All right, so greetings and salutations to all of you at the Barnhart residence and all those that are dialed in. Thanks to Barney, Bob, and Jan for the opportunity and privilege of sharing God's Word. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. I'd like to take a look at certain aspects of the gathering together of the church. We could call this our appointment with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not to replace the biblical description, but just to help us lock it in. The word appointment means, according to the Oxford Online Dictionary, an arrangement to meet someone at a particular time and place. God has made this arrangement for each of us who are born again to meet our born-again brothers and sisters and the Lord Jesus Christ. Only God knows the specific time and place, and he's revealed a little bit about how it's going to happen and where it's going to be in his written word. Our appointment with Christ is inalienable. That is, it's unable to be taken away from or given away by the possessor. God made the arrangement. Nobody can take it away, and you cannot give it away. It's a done deal. So in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, I'm going to read from King James Version. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I've also got Weiss' New Testament translation here I'd like to read. In verse 16, because the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with an archangel's voice, and with a call of a trumpet sounded at God's command, they'll descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first. Then as for us who are living and who are left behind, together with them we shall be snatched away forcibly in clouds for a welcome meeting with the Lord in the lower atmosphere. And thus always shall we be with the Lord. When I first read this verse out of Weiss, and I saw those words, lower atmosphere, something just clicked in my brain. Maybe it's my engineer brain, but I thought, you know, lower atmosphere, I understand what that is. That's something I can quantify and get my arms around. And so I was pretty excited. I started researching it and getting all the data on it. So that's kind of what got me started in this. So we'll start with the word caught up, which is verse 17. We're going to focus on verse 17 tonight. The word is harpazo, and Bollinger notes to snatch away, to carry off, suddenly and by force. Vines reads to snatch or carry away. This verb conveys the idea of force, suddenly exercised. And Thayer's indicates to seize on, claim for oneself eagerly. Now, the word is used, I guess, in secular Greek and perhaps in the word, I didn't look at all the usages, but of wild animals. And mostly when they're snatching things away, they're doing it to kill and eat. Well, certainly the action that God's take might have that sort of physical action, but he has no motivation to have a tasty bite. He's going to use quick force to snatch us up, to bring us to meet the other born-again brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's going to make it effortless for us. The force that he's going to use is going to make it effortless for us. He'll take care of the logistics, in other words. In verse 17, after we are snatched up together with them, and it's going to be in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And again, Weiss translates clouds as clouds. How about that? And caught up, he translates snatched away forcibly. And air, he translates lower atmosphere. So the word clouds are the Greek word nephele, and Bollinger's got a particular distinct cloud. Bollinger's got a definitely shaped cloud or masses of clouds possessing definite form. He also adds sort of an editorial note in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. The clouds referred to in connection with the rapture of the saints are probably the natural ones. I would say from all the definitions, they are the natural ones. They are clouds that we're used to seeing in the atmosphere, the lower atmosphere. And there's a bunch of different kind of clouds that have been named, but they are clouds. They're basically water or ice particles that are in the air. So the word air, A-I-R, is a Greek word, aer, A-E-R. And that comes from another Greek word, aemi, to breathe unconsciously, i.e. to respire, by analogy to blow. So Bollinger's got air as the air, the celestial fluid above the earth. Vines has got English air signifies the atmosphere, certainly in 5 of the 7 occurrences, and almost certainly in the other two, Ephesians 2:2 and 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Theirs has the air, particularly the lower and denser air, is distinguished from the higher and rarer air, the atmospheric region. So we're talking about distinct real clouds and atmospheric air, the kind we breathe and blow in and out. So that's quite a bit of information, actually, that God's given us about this appointment that we have with Christ, this meeting, when we are transformed from either our dead bodies or our live bodies to the new bodies. But before we look at the atmosphere, let's think about how the mind judges distance. So in our minds, there's a big difference between traveling up into the atmosphere and going the same distance on the ground. That's no surprise to anybody, but we're just going to talk about it and think about it a little bit. If you're walking, running, or riding a bicycle, gaining elevation can be hard physical work. Going down can also be difficult on joints, ligaments, and muscles. However, the biggest driver is the effects of gravity. I'm stating the obvious here, but please bear with me. Think about a ladder. You're asked to climb up a 20-foot ladder and stand on the very top step. Disclaimer, I do not recommend you do that. If you lose your balance and fall off, you will fall through the air until you hit the ground, which could be met with dire consequences. So that is a high and dangerous place to be, and when you're up there on top of the ladder, it seems like a long way down. However, if I ask you to walk 20 feet, about 7 paces, you would say, "What for?" Unless you're physically challenged with walking, it's quite insignificant, but it's exactly the same distance. Let's think about 3 miles. The average person can walk 3 miles an hour. That could be a challenge for some people, but walking for an hour at an average walking pace is in most cases readily doable. How about 3 miles above ground level? If you started at sea level, you would be 15,840 feet up in the air. Now that seems like a very long distance, and if you suddenly found yourself at that altitude, even with a parachute, unless you're an experienced skydiver, you'd be terrified. But it's the exact same distance that you could walk in an hour. We want to work our minds to change our perception so that the vertical and the horizontal distances are the same in our mind's eye. Then we will have a more realistic picture of where we are going to be meeting up with our brothers in Christ and the Lord himself. Christ has already had a similar ascending experience in his new body, and he's alive and well and coming back to meet us in the clouds in the air. In Acts 1:9, and when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So the distances implied in 1 Thessalonians 4:17 suddenly take on a new importance. That is, we can readily imagine meeting our Lord in the air. We can visualize going to that cloud in the sky. So let's take a quick look at the atmosphere, because one of the words that's used in verse 17 is air. Not only clouds and air go together. And the atmosphere is actually, when you study it just a little bit, you find out that it's quite an amazing part of God's creation, especially the lower part where all the mass of air that we breathe is. Scientists have divided the atmosphere into zones of altitude based on what is going on within each zone. The first zone, starting at the Earth's surface, is called the troposphere, and that's the one that we're interested in. The troposphere is where the air we breathe resides, and it also is where weather forms, that is, where the clouds are. It extends up to a maximum of 10 miles, which is 53,000 feet above Earth's surface. It is defined as the lower atmosphere, referred to by Wiest in his translation. The troposphere is not the same height everywhere around the Earth. At the north and south poles, the troposphere extends about 5 miles up from the Earth's surface and about 10 miles at the equator. It gets cold near the top, as low as minus 103 degrees Fahrenheit. The difference in height between the poles and the equator is due to the convective forces of many thunderstorms around the equator, pushing the air molecules higher in the air. Storms take place in the troposphere, which contains 75 to 80% of the Earth's atmosphere. However, much of the weather is at or below 30,000 feet. Commercial airliners are typically designed to fly at or above 33,000 up to about 42,000, allowing them to avoid or evade large cumulonimbus clouds, or thunderheads, which can extend up to 60,000 feet. The highest point above sea level on the planet is at the top of Mount Everest, which is 29,032 feet, including the snow. However, unless you're acclimated, it's very difficult to breathe for any length of time at that altitude, even with supplemental oxygen, because the air is so thin. There's so little oxygen there. 14,000 feet is typically about as high as you want to go without acclimation or oxygen because of the lower levels of oxygen in the thin air. For the purposes of our discussion, and to set a conservative ballpark figure for the altitude zone where we might be meeting Christ and other born-again ones, let's use sea level up to 37,000 feet, or between 0 and 7 miles, as a guideline. It might be higher, but the point is to help us visualize the distances involved when the gathering together, our appointment with Christ, arrives. Now, 7 miles may seem like a lot, but compared to other commonly observed or experienced distances, it's really not much at all. For example, it's 2,700 miles from the Cabrillo statue at Point Loma to the eastern edge of Maine. And it's 238,855 miles from the Earth to the Moon. And those are distances that, of course, looking at the moon happens all the time, but going across country is something that you can sort of imagine in your mind as well. Now, we're only talking about 7 miles or less. When I realized that we were meeting Christ in the lower atmosphere, I started looking every day at the clouds, and even on clear days, thinking about the distances involved, and imagining myself being snatched up to that very cloud in the sky. Here's my challenge to you. Mark off a distance of about 7 miles as you travel about during the day. You might be walking that far on a round trip if you're ambitious, but even if you are driving in a car or riding a bicycle, make a note when you have gone that distance. Then make the transposition between the horizontal to the vertical distance in your mind. It's really not that far at all, and it could be much less than that. The height is an issue to us now, but it won't be in our new bodies. Try to visualize it. Look at the clouds in the sky and imagine yourself being snatched away to meet the Lord. Remember, our appointment with Christ is inalienable. It cannot be taken away, and it cannot be given away. Back to verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I love you all. Thanks for your faithfulness, and I'm looking forward to meeting you in the clouds in the air.